We will now start up with the shiur. We started with some of our amusement park discussions last week and keep us flying off on roller coasters. And I thought that we would move on to tattooing. Famously, in a number of amusement parks, it's more old-fashioned than new-fashioned. Now we prefer wristbands for some reason. Those of you who are at graduation, again, will know different color wristbands. But they used to, and in a lot of places still do, stamp your hand with this stamp that's like annoying to wash off. And like it stays there for like a while. And this brings us up to another sugya that I thought would be interesting. And again, we're not necessarily doing these as halachic issues. I don't think there are many poskim that would argue to you that to get a hand stamp is a violation of tattooing. However, again, it's an opportunity for us to look into these sugyas that we might have not otherwise covered. So let's talk a little bit about it. So there's a pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas Kedoshim, I believe. V'sarek l'nefesh lo sitnu b'vsarchem, uchsoves ka'ka lo sitnu b'chem, ani Hashem. Don't aseret for a nefesh. And those of you who learn Makos with me will be more familiar with these. As you're going to see, this is all in Makos. But a scratch for a soul, do not place in your flesh. And a ksoves kaka, do not place in you. I am Hashem. Ksoves kaka generally is translated with one word, tattoo. Okay, this is the pasuk of the Torah which prohibits tattooing. And someone who gets a tattoo is in violation of the iser, what we call of ksoves kaka. Okay, that's what the Torah tells us here. Now, let's go through. There's a Mishnah and a Gemara that are very, very important to see in order to understand the Yisr and what is a violation of Ksoves Kaka. We're going to go into, hopefully, a nice chunk of depth here. All of the different topics that I tried to separate out of the story sheet really all connect back to each other, as we'll see in a number of places, and we'll constantly be cross-referencing between the different pages. But let's start with the basic sugya, Gemara, Rashi. I wrote Rashi, really, it's Rivan. His son-in-law Rashi dies earlier in Makos. For those who were keeping track, those of you who are learning Makos now, Rashi died in the middle of learning Makos, so be worried. It's not a joke, by the way, to some degree. Anyways, says the Mishnah, HaKosev Ksoves Kaka. If you write a ksoves kaka, which again is a tattoo, kasav velo kikea, according to the Mefarshim, that's the right way to pronounce it, but there's 100 different ways that people pronounce that word. Kasav velo kikea, kikea velo kasav. Let's say you wrote, but you did not, and we assume lekakea means to pierce the skin in some form or fashion, which is how tattoos are made. Everybody familiar with the basic idea of how a tattoo is made? Is basically there is some sort of incision into the skin and there is some ink that is put into that incision. Now, which order you do it in, lots of discussions. We probably won't get into that, but nevertheless. Okay, so kasav velo kikea. Kikea velo kasav. If you either wrote on the skin, but you didn't make, again, some puncture into the skin, or you made a puncture but you didn't write, Eino chayev ad sheyichto v'yikakeya bidyo uvichol uvichol davar shehuroshim. Dio is a type of ink. Kchol is another type of ink. You're only chayev when you write and you puncture with one of these inks or uvichol davar shehuroshim, anything that leaves a mark. Yes?
Wouldn't it be an issue, like, on the most basic level, just making, like a whole puncture in the skin?
Yes, there could be. What issue would that be? I'm just curious.
Like drawing blood, no? Do you bleed?
Right, so are you drawing blood for someone else or on yourself? So there, we definitely don't like the idea of people drawing their own blood. However, especially considering the beginning of this pasuk, what is the beginning of this pasuk? B'serek la'nefesh lo zitnu b'serachem. Don't scratch your own skin. La'nefesh, the Gemara understands, based on other places in the Torah, to mean over a dead person. Meaning if you're so distressed over something, that's when there's a Torah violation to cut your own skin. So I think it's important to realize that, yes, there is an issue of chavala, and we don't wound ourselves. What exactly the boundaries of that are anyways is an excellent question, and we'll get onto that a little bit later in terms of understanding this Mishnah. But the bottom line is, the simple, again, just reading the pasuk, is there's a violation of cutting oneself over a dead body or cutting oneself and adding an ink to it. We don't see, again, at least Mefurish in the pasuk, that there's some issue to just cut yourself open. If that was an Isser Doraisa, none of this would be necessary.
Would we not be able to get surgery if we couldn't do this?
So definitely for a valuable reason, of course you can. That's not for no reason, meaning so long as there's any good reason to do so. In fact, one of the most common health items that people would do in medieval times was
bloodletting.
They would literally slice open different parts of their body and let blood come out, and it was considered something which improved health. and there's Gemaras all over the place, there's Rishonim all over the place, people would do this, so long as it's for a good reason. But just for no good reason, to slice one's body is not necessarily considered something positive.
So if you're depressed and you self-harm, that's against the Torah?
That's it. So, first of all, you should seek the correct help that you need. I'm not trying to say, so someone who's depressed and engaging in self-harm, again, it's hard to say from this pasuk that there is a Torah violation that you're doing. The Torah definitely does not like self-harm, but not in a like, oh, you're harming yourself, you're a bad person type of way. More in like, we generally don't like people to mess with their bodies for no reason. But certainly it's most important that such a person not be told, you know, oh, you're a Rasha, look at you, you're cutting yourself open, but rather refer them to the best professional who can help them in that capacity. And certainly not to talk about it in terms of halachic, violations. Okay, so that's the first part of the Mishnah. This is the Shita of Tanakama/Chachamim, whatever you want to call it. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Om, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shimon, Eino chayev ad sheyichtov sham es Hashem. You're only chayev when you write the name. The name. Okay, Shenamar, as it says, and the Dalit is the source of the Pasuk. Uchsoves kaka lo sitnu bachem ani Hashem. And a ksoves kaka, you should not place in yourselves, I am Hashem. Okay, so what exactly does this mean? So says the Gemara. The Gemara is not really clear on this. Amar li Rav Acha, Rei de Rava le Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha, the son of Rava, turns to Rav Ashi, and he's like, one second, this is a bizarre Mishnah. Adi yichtov ani Hashem mamish? So right, it says, Uchsoves kaka lo sitnu bachem ani Hashem. So the way that Rav Acha, Rei de Rava, seems to understand this passage, he's saying like, so you're not allowed to write the words Ani Hashem? I mean, first of all, it sounds like it's quite logical. But tattooing I am Hashem on yourself is very fascinating. But says Rav Acha, Rabbi, is that really what Rabbi Shimon means to say? That you can't write, quote-unquote, Ani Hashem? That seems very, very far-fetched. Amar Leh said to him, lo, no, of course not. Kidatani Bar Kapara, Bar Kapara taught in Abraisa. Eino chayv achiyichtov shem avodas kochavim. You're only chayev if you write the name of an avodah zara. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, uchsoves kaka lo sitnu bachem ani Hashem velo acher. Not that Rabbi Shimon is learning you can't write the words quote unquote ani Hashem, but rather what is Rabbi Shimon saying? Don't make a uchsoves kaka because I am Hashem. Meaning I am Hashem, not some other bozo avodah zara. So therefore, don't write the name of some avodah zara on your skin. That's the Gemara over here. Okay, Amar Rav Malki, Amar Rav Ada Bar Hava. Rav Malki says the name of Rav Ada Bar Hava. Asal Adam Sheitin Efer Makla Agave Makaso Mivnation Near Ace Kikoseves Kaka. So let's say I hope none of you have ever had this happen to you before, but you probably all have. Is that you've fallen down, you've gotten some sort of wound on your body, you fell down, you scraped your knee, or something like that on your arm, or you got a cut in somewhere, and now you have a cut in your body. So says the Gemara over here of Malchiyah in the name of Rav Ada Bar Hava, if you have some colored material, specifically here he's talking about ash, but if you have something with a strong color, don't use that to treat your wound. You know why? Because it looks like you're tattooing yourself. Why? There's a wound there and you're taking stuff and you're putting it in. You're taking color and you're putting it in. And ash, by the way, would have been something that people would have potentially used to treat a wound. I'm guessing. Why? Probably if it was hot, right? It was like, it was going to heat the wound a little bit and it was going to make it feel better. The problem is, again, what are you doing? You're taking colored substance, you're putting it into a wound. Says Rav Malchiyah, it's a no-go. The Gemara then has a whole discussion of Rav Malchiyah or Rav Malchiyo. But the bottom line is, nearest ksoves kaka. It looks like it is a tattoo, and the Gemara goes on to say, Rav Bibi Bar Abaye kapit afilu arivda de kusilta. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye was makbid not to put ash even on his bloodletting wounds. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi didn't like this. He says, kalmakum sheyesh shamaka. Anytime you have a wound, makasa mochiach alav. You can see from the fact that it's a wound, you're not making a tattoo, right? If someone has a scrape on their knee, and you're watching someone put ash on the scrape on their knee, you can see, oh, he's bleeding. Like, this is not someone tattooing themselves, so don't worry about it. This is the conclusion. Now, again, I said Rashi, you can read through Rashi, we can read through the book Yosef. We'll go through a couple of the basic points over here. Rashi, again, is not really Rashi, it's really the Rivan at this point. And then Amukah Yosef, again, on the riff, we'll see basically what makes something a tattoo. So what are the two key ingredients so far that we've learned about in the Mishnah? Two key ingredients to tattooing. Number one, there has to be a cut. Number two, there has to be ink. It has to be ink and a cut. So is it true that any time there's ink and a cut that you violate this Avera?
No.
What?
No.
So you say no, why not?
I have no logical reason right now.
Okay.
Seemingly yes.
Seemingly yes, why?
It says whenever like the Gemara, the Mishnah states in the Gemara, if you have both, then that's aser.
Okay, so we have nireis ksoves kaka. So maybe that's just an issur d'rabbanan because it looks like it. So what else do we need as ingredients for our ksoves kaka? And again, we're obviously going to be starting to think of...
It says like, eino chayav ashi yichdo v'kaka.
Right, so there needs to be two parts to it. You're chayev when you do both, correct. Is every time you do both that you're chayev? And what about the flip side? Is there anything else that you can do without doing the two parts to make you chayev? What is important ingredients? So number one, I think there's one that a lot of us think of and is brought in the Rishonim, and I think is important, okay? Ksoves kas kaka, let's read again. Rifan. Kosev tchila al besero besamo. Zikra Rashi says you write first with this ink, and then you cut open the skin or pierce the skin with some sort of needle, which is how we do it nowadays, or a knife. Okay, Rashi brings a very, very important point. Nirebo kol hayamim means it's
visible.
Permanent. It's permanent. Nirebo kol hayamim, it's visible all of his days. Again, this raises certain questions about tattoo removal, and would this have any halachic ramifications? You could argue that it wouldn't, and Rashi is just saying this is what happens when you pierce skin and you put in ink. It just is there. But anyways, definitely something to think. Vaser lichtov shum ksiva ba'olam al besaro b'in yezeh shekach gzeras ha-kasev. Says Rashi, what's the opinion of Tanakama? And again, when I say Rashi, I mean Rivan. And I'll say Rashi many other times throughout this year. What is the prohibition according to Tanakama? So first of all, what's the reason according to Tanakama? Zeres HaKasuv! The Torah says so. That's Aser. And what is Aser? Shum ksiva ba'olam al bisaro b'inyan zeh. You cannot do any writing on your skin in this manner. That's what the Torah says. Es Hashem, Yifarashim, Mora Hashem, Voskhavim, Kavar, Gemara, Adjil, Tavani, Hashem, Mamas. Al Tevz, Lolo, Ani, Hashem, Atav, Chavim, Shum, Ksoves, Kaka, Ksoves, Kaka, Lusit, Nibachem, Shum, Ksoves, Kaka, Lea, Asu, Lefisha, Ani, Hashem, Vasurin, Atem, Lichtov. Here we go. So I read that part quickly because we went over it already. But says the Rivan, says Rashi, about this last part over here. Okay, I'm in the second last line. Shum ksoves kaka lo yasu lefanai she'ani Hashem va'asurin atem lichtov shem acher al besarchem. You are not allowed to write any other name on your skin. Alma, we see ikar chiyuva mishum shem avodas kochavim. Rashi says something very strange here, that the main chiyuv is because of a name of Avaras Kochavim, who, umi, however, asur lichtov shum ksiva ba'olam afilu l'Rabbi Shimon. It's prohibited to write any writing, even according to Rabbi Shimon, ela d'chiyuv Malkus laka. Those of you who learned Makos, if you're in the process of learning Makos, the third paragraph of Makos is Elohim Halokin. These are the people who get Malkus. It's a list of Malkuses. So in the Mishnah, says Rashi, a very interesting idea, that even though Rabbi Shimon says, eno chayiv ad sheyichtov sham es Hashem, you're only chayev, says Rashi. What does chayev mean? Chayev malchus. However, according to Rabbi Shimon, says Rashi, seemingly, there's an iser d'oraisa to write anything, but your malchus only comes if you write the name of an avodah zara on your skin. Very interesting. And Rashi says, what's a rivda, maka, kusilta, klisha, makabo, flema? I don't know what that is. And we have the Nimuk Yosef. I won't go through all of it again, just to see the idea of how he lays out these things. First of all, what is ksoves kaka? And what does that word mean? Says in Amukah Yosef, lashon kriya v'chakika. It means to tear something open or to dig into something. Achirto v'yikakea. What does that mean? Klomar achar shekara oro hiniach dio beoso srita. After you cut open the skin, you put ink in there. V'nikeresh from zman gadol. And again, it's something which stays for a long time. Uva inan tarti l'chiyuva, you need two. Srita uksiva. Okay, you need the ulashin degranaka, ksiv uksoves kaka. Shrei tchila ukorea or v'achar kach kosev. You need the ksoves and you need the kaka. You need both of these objects, and we can go through the rest of it when we can. I will note one more thing, very interesting, because we're about to talk about who we Pesachim like. So that's going to be a very interesting question. I'll bring you a Tosefta here last. Anybody know what a Tosefta is? Everybody familiar with what a Tosefta is? Before, you've heard of a Tosefta. So Tosefta, for those of you who don't know, the grade 9, I'm sure you'll come across many more Toseftas in your learning career at Yeshivat Or Chaim. But a Tosefta is basically, there's the Mishnah. The Mishnah was compiled by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And there were also these things called Braitot, which recorded other views from the times of the Tanayim. And they're found scattered throughout the Gemara. There was one particular collection called Tosefta, compiled by Rabbi Chiya, which can be found in the back of Gemara's. It's a separate book, and it just records the opinions of Tanayim that were not included in the Mishnah. And many of the Braises in the Gemara are actually also found in the Tosefta. In particular, what I want to point out here, see the second line of the Tosefta here. Ve'eino chayev ad sheyichta v'yikakea bidyo uvikchol. You see the middle of that second line, you're not chayev until you write and make it some sort of, again, puncture with dyo or chol. La avoda zara. To avoda zara. So I'm just curious, do you think this is A, like the Tanakama, B, like a Rishi Shimon, or C, a third view? Why do you think it's a third view? I would say, Bepashas, I would agree with you with the first reading of this.
One of them was, like, you're only chayv, like you when you said the only chayv malchus if you do avodah zarah, you're chayv.
Not if you do avodah zarah, you're chayv a lot more than malchus if you do avodah zarah.
Right, avodah zarah.
Yeah.
But anything else, you're just chayv, like, to write the punishment. And the other opinion was that regardless of what you write, you're chayv, no?
Right, so it seems to be, again, I would say, the Pashtus, that when I first read this Tosefta, I would agree with you, and I'm not sure that that's wrong even in conclusion. Certainly we'll see there are people that don't agree with that, but the bottom line is that it sounds like maybe this is even a third sheet, that at any time it's for or related to a Avodah Zarah, you're Chayev, otherwise maybe you're Pater. That's what it takes to make you Chayev, or maybe that's what it takes to make you Chayev Malkus, again, based on Rashi's reading above. So, who do we Paskin like? So, any of you... although you're probably not experienced poskim, and certainly neither am I, you've probably heard some rules before of psak. How do we know who to poskim like when you have a machlokas? If you have a machlokas between two people, who would you follow? So, grade 9, any suggestions here? If you have a machlokas between two people, who would you follow? Are there any rules that you remember from somewhere, or other wise guidance that you want to offer me?
My brain's not working. That's why the majority of people do.
Okay, so majority of people, higher...
I can't remember the word. My brain's
older.
Older, maybe older, smarter. I mean, I like these different things. The one that generally creeps up in Psak is what we refer to as Yachid V'Rabin. Okay, Yachid V'Rabin means an individual versus a larger group. Okay, so thank you, Noah. Although certainly, yes, we do have many, many rules that revolve around how the stature of the person or the persons involved in the argument. But let's start with Yachid versus Rabin. Okay? Says the Ritva. If you look here, okay, the Ritva talks about what the Rif says. So there are three big postgame that the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch like to look at. We call the big three, the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam. The Rif and the Rosh, the way they wrote their Sfarim is they talk very little. The Rosh talks a little bit more than the Rif. They talk very little, and they quote you relevant Gemaras. And if they quoted a Gemara, it usually means that we passing like the Gemara. If they skip that Gemara or they skip the view, it means we don't passing like that view. So that's the Russian Rif. And we also have the Rambam who rewrote everything. These are the big three the Beis Yosef looks at. So the Ritva is going to talk to us about the Rif. The Rif quoted basically quoted the Gemaras that we did and said, yeah, basically quoted the Gemaras that we did. Again, well, you can always look at the Rif and see exactly which line he said and exactly which gear. So, but the bottom line is, he basically quoted all of the Gemaras that I taught you. So says the Ritva about the Rif. V'nirin advarim. Shekol amimros halalu, all of these things that we said in the Gemara, meaning when we're talking about a machlokas between Efer Makle and putting Efer Makle on your maka, and we're talking about all these different things of Maris Ayin, says the Ritva, Shekol amimros halalu nemer ela derabanan. Says the Ritva, all of these things were only said according to the Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon, in lesser davar mikol zav, ki filo mi de Rabbanan. Says Ritva, a very interesting statement, which obviously shows he's arguing on Rashi over here, and we'll discuss that a little bit more later. But he says all of the discussion of the Gemara about Maris Ayin, he says, is really only relevant to one view. Which view? The Shita of the Tanakhama of the Rabbanan. Why? Because the Tanakhama is the one who says that if you write anything, you're chayiv. So it makes sense that if you have a wound, let's say the wound looks like a little scar of some sort, and you put ash on it, that I could hear why there might be an Isser Derabanan involved. Why? Because even to make that in the first place, to make a scar, right? If someone wants to look like Harry Potter and decides to slice open their forehead and put in some ash there, right? I could hear, right, that would be a tattoo. And if they happen to have sliced open their forehead and now they have a scar shape there and some ash got inside or something else got inside, like, it makes sense according to the Tanakhama, says the Ritzvah. But according to Rish Shimon, what's the halacha? What's the only case that you're asked to write? The name of an Avodah Zarah. If you skin your knee, says the Ritzvah, no one is going to mistake that for the name of an Avodah Zarah. Like, what in heaven's name? That's not something that's a reasonable Isser. So says the Ritzvah, it's very clear that all of this discussion in the Gemara is going according to which opinion? The Tanakhama. Because according to Rish Shimon, this wouldn't be an issue. Right? Umina shaminan, and therefore we learn from this, to hilchzaki rabbanan, to chol hasugya kavasayu. Therefore we must paskin like the Rabbanan, because the Gemara goes on to have all these discussions about it. Kimishnas bar kapar ledivir l'shim v'lechonu tanya l'farish devarav. And says the Ritzvah, anticipating another question, which is, what do you mean, Ritzvah? The very first section of the Gemara was all about the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, right? The Gemara asked, what do you mean until you write Ani Hashem? So says Ritzvah, bar kapara. He's just coming to explain what Rabbi Shimon meant. Is it coming to support the view of Rabbi Shimon? No. And by the way, I would also agree, I mean, again, not that I need to agree with the Ritzvah, but I would add a little bit to what he's saying. You get the sense from the opening Gemara that it wasn't like, oh, let's discuss the Shita of Rabbi Shimon because we hold like it. You get the sense that the question was like, what does that even mean? Right? That's the way the Gemara is presented. It's like, Achi yichtov ani Hashem ma, like, that can't be what he means. But that doesn't sound like they're arguing within his view. Yet. Right? For if acha nami bir diver of Shimon who did by velomishum the hilfsakava say, vein linchos bekach klala de yachid barab malach karab. And anyways, he says, Noah's point. We have a rule. Yachid v'rab malach karabim. Rabbi Shimon is a yachid. Chachamim are arabim. Yachid v'rab malach karabim. We have to follow the Tanakhama. We have to follow the Chachamim. In this case, kol shekein k'shasur gemachras k'rabanan. For sure, when I have a proof from the end of the sugya that only works according to Rabbanan. Yet, afal arif pasak, the rif, who again is one of our big three. Arif pasak says the Ritzvah, in his view, halacha k'rabbi Shimon, v'tam devar, v'shun devar kapar, derav acha v'lona hira. Says Ritzvah, I disagree with him, but at the end of the day, the Rif brings this whole Gemara back and forth about what Rabbi Shimon's opinion actually is. If the Rif didn't really hold like Rabbi Shimon, then he wouldn't bring all this back and forth about his view. Therefore, says the Ritzvah, although I don't agree with the Rif, I acknowledge that the Rif paskins like Rabbi Shimon. And again, the simple understanding of Rabbi Shimon against Rashi, like the Ritzvah is implied here, is that you're only chayev if you make a name of Avodah Zarah. And we'll have to discuss what that means in terms of, and we'll discuss this later on in this year, not so much time left, but we'll discuss it maybe tomorrow, whatever the case is how that fits in. Now, the Rosh. We were introduced to the Kitzer Pesachei Rosh last year, on Kippahs, just for those of you who weren't here for the last set of Shiurim. So we have, again, the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam. The Rosh, as we know, again, just like I explained to you, quotes sections of the Gemara, often we'll quote Rishonim as well. He'll often tell you who the Allah is like. And so we have this amazing sefer called Kitzer Pesachei Rosh. Kitzer Pesachei Rosh was authored by the Tur, the Rosh's son, and it's what he believes to be the final conclusion of the Rosh. Meaning, you've read through paragraphs and paragraphs, and you've read through a bunch of different Gemaras. What does the Rosh actually hold? And again, the Rosh quotes a bunch of these Gemaras and tells you the Allah is like Rav Ashi. Says the Tur, what does my father mean? Let's read. Hakosev ksivas kaka, kikea, velokasav, oshakasav, albasar, velokikea. Tchila, so that's again a separate discussion. Does one have to be first before the other? The Tur believes yes. Eino chayav, you're only chayav ad sheyikakeya v'yichtov bidyo o bechol davar shehu roshem. Sounds like which view? Tanakhama. Psych, says the Tur. V'eino chayav ad sheyichtov shem avodas kochavim. Rabbi Shimon paskins very, very clearly that you're only chayev if you have a shem avodas kochavim. By the way, makum sheish b'makum mutar litein bo afer. If you have a wound, you can put afer on it. That is the conclusion of the Kitzur Pesach Rash. So now we have the Rif paskins like Rabbi Shimon, the Rash paskins like Rabbi Shimon. What about the Rambam? Rambam, you got a very interesting take. Says the Rambam, Ksoves kaka hamura b'tora. What is a tattoo which the Torah talks about? Hushi yisaret al b'saro. It's when you scratch the skin. V'yimali mekom asrita kol odyo shart tzivonim haroshmim. And you fill up that wound that you've made with, again, this type of ink. V'zeh haya minaka akum. And this was the custom of the non-Jews. Sherosh min atzman la'avodas kochavim. That they would, again, write, they would basically make these marks on themselves to the avodas kochavim. Klomar shehu eved machurla umursham la'avodasa. That basically he signed up in this Avodah Zarah's fan club. How do you know? He has the Avodah Zarah fan club tattoo on his hand, on his neck, on his back, who knows where else. And this was a sign that sort of, I am a follower of Avodah Zarah X or Avodah Zarah Y. Umeis she'ir shom. Now, up until now, I'm not clear on what the Rambam thinks. On the one hand, there's definitely, he hasn't really said that you have to write the name explicitly, but he's also said, like, this is what the Avodah Zarah would do, that they would write the name of the Avodah Zarah and say that, therefore, I worship whatever Avodah Zarah I've tattooed into, who knows where. So, says the Rambam, however, to clarify, Umeis she'yirshom be'echad midvarim haroshmim, and from the moment that you make a mark with one of the mark-making things, achar she'yisrot, after you scratch, be'ezeh makom min haguf, anywhere on your body, beinish beinisha, man or a woman, loka, you get malchus. Kasa velo rasham betzevo shrasham betzevo lo kasa vitzrita patur achi yechto viyakakeash nemroch soves kaka medvar mor bekosev al zeshe kasa v'besaro viyakak kik ubo eno chayev elam kinsiyeh kadesh yatsamaisa aval im lo asaklum eno loka. Says the Rambam, you need to do both. And by the way, it's not that they have to be done to you. It's that you have to participate in this action. Let's say someone drugged you and then gave you a massive tattoo of Chesachvas, was it Shem Avodah Zarah, on your back? And again, even not Shem Avodah Zarah seems to be, according to the Rambam. If you read this, it sounds like as soon as you made a mark, you are chayav. Again, as soon as you made a mark, you are chayav. This sounds like the opinion of Tanakama, with a twist that is all about Avodah Zarah. Coming a little bit closer to your Tosefta that you said you think is a third shot. That Tosefta is until you did it, la avodah zarah. Maybe you could learn that way in the Rambam. Maybe.
It's not Xeris Akasuv,
but well, again, Xeris, it's very, very interesting. Who said Tanakama is Xeris Akasuv? Right? Rashi said that. Right? Shekach Xeris Akasuv. You could argue that the Rambam is a pure Tanakamist. And that all the Rambam's telling you is, why does Tanakama prohibit any tattooing whatsoever? Because that's what the Ovdei Avodah Zarah used to do. But that doesn't determine the halacha. So, it's hard to know. Says Alecha Mishnah, by the way, this does follow the opinion of Rabbanan against Rabbi Shimon. You can see this also in the Perasha Mishnayos La Rambam, which we'll bring up in a separate discussion later, but if you look at it down there, Vein Halacha Kari Shimon, he's quite clear, a few sources down. You also have this, seems to be a very similar language in the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam. Rambam's pretty consistent over here. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows, even though the Shulchan Aruch likes to go best two out of three, if you look in pretty much all of the other Rishonim, the Balei HaTosfos, the Sefer HaMitzvos, pretty much everyone paskins like Tanakhama. As we saw in the Ritva, even though you have the Rif and the Rush, who seemed to paskin like Rabbi Shimon, almost no one else paskins like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore writes the Shulchan Aruch. It's very interesting, by the way. The Shulchan Aruch dances around a few issues. Look at his language, which is based on the language of the Rambam, of course. Ksoves kaka hainu shesoret al besaro umemalei mekom hasrita bichol odio o she'ar tzivonim haroshmim. Ksoves kaka is when you scratch on your skin, on your flesh, and you fill up the place of the scratch with one of these things which writes. What's lacking in the Shulchan Aruch, which makes sense? He doesn't tell you what, like, is this an Isser Doraisa? Do you get Malchus for this? That's why I said it's, and in fact, you could argue, so what's Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch? When the Shulchan Aruch writes this, what is he trying to say? So option number one, is he's paskening like Tanakama, which pretty much everybody agrees with. So much so that the Gra, who disagrees with Yuri with the Tosefta, the Gra says, even though you have a Tosefta which supports the view of Rabbi Shimon, nevertheless, you follow the Tanakama, just like we see in many other places. Follow the Tanakama, follow the Tanakama, follow the Tanakama. That's how almost everybody assumes the Shulchan Aruch learning. You could argue, based on what the Shulchan Aruch wrote in the Beis Yosef, even though, again, he does seem to paskin like the Tanakama, even in the Beis Yosef, he notes this view of Rashi, that even according to Rabbi Shimon, it's prohibited to make any mark. And it's just that you only get Malkus in the case of when you write the name of Avodah Zarah, and you could maybe argue that that's Peshat on the Shulchan Aruch, but that's a pretty hard push. Certainly what you don't see is the mentions of Avodah Zarah that you saw in the Rambam. The Rambam takes that away completely, and that's actually part of a bigger discussion of Tamei HaMitzvot and other things. Question? And then I'll end, or you're done with your question. Okay, I'll just note a couple of things. We'll very, very briefly run through. There's so much to do here. Well, we'll pick up tomorrow. It's basically 12. Part 2 tomorrow, that's why I wrote over here. I didn't know what time I was going to get here. Part 1, maybe. So we'll do part 2 tomorrow. But I think the takeaway seems to be the vast majority of Rishonim Paskin like Tanakama, seems to be Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Tanakama, and that's certainly the view that we're aware of. I don't think any of you before today were thinking that, like, oh yeah, everyone knows that you only are chayav for tattooing if you get the tattoo of a Shem of Avodah Zarah. There were other things, by the way, some very interesting things. Rabbi Sack was telling me of some story where, like, some guy had Shem Hashem, or some girl that Shem Hashem tattooed on her neck, has a whole separate set of issues. But we'll continue again with Rabbi Shimon.
Are you allowed to erase it?
So that's obviously the other big issues that it comes up with. That's definitely a big concern to erase that, because there you have a permanently written name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke. You have serious issues. But whatever. We'll continue with this topic, Yimirza Hashem, tomorrow.